discussing what's important.
These receivers have to do their part.
Show up on Sunday and see what you can do.
And having some fun along the way.
You know what they say about big feet, right?
Big socks.
Big shoes.
Big brain.
This is the Chase and Big Joe Show.
Well, Lordy freaking God!
With Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin.
Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee.
Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Release the hounds.
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Friday. He's Big Joe, I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos, and we are going to have Chris Sanders. We say hello to our man Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver now here on the show. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing? Y'all doing good over there?
We're good. I want to bring up a name of the past because I was listening to DVD yesterday, and basically the topic was, you know, former Titans that had all this hype, like preseason hype, that just didn't matter to anything. And yeah. I asked Derek, I popped in while they were talking about it, and I said, Derek, what went wrong with Joey Kent? Because he was a second round pick out of Tennessee, and that would have been, he and Derek were drafted in the same year, so 97. Derek's a fourth round pick, but I mean, that would have put I don't understand. So you were there too. What happened with Joey Kent?
I don't think it was a talent issue. I just think that we had so many dudes. I mean, we had Kevin Dyson, we had Yancey Thickman, we had Isaac Bird, we had myself. So it was just, I just think he got caught up in the shuffle. It wasn't the talent wise. I mean, the dude could play. He made some plays throughout that Super Bowl run, but I just think that at that time we had so many dudes. I mean, you look at the Tennessee Titans right now. Their wide receiver room is very crowded. It's very crowded. And some guys are going to play and some guys are not. And sometimes it doesn't really have to do with talent. Sometimes it has to do with, you know, which guy's playing the best.
Well, and you mentioned the room now. Yes, it's crowded, but
– crowded, yeah.
I don't know how talented it is. I mean, you got Ridley, who's, you know, you've paid a lot of money to.
True.
Lockett's the veteran who's going to come in and be the de facto number two, even though at this point in his career I don't know if he is. And then you got 2 fourth-round picks that I think we're putting a lot of stock in. You got an undrafted guy we're putting a lot of stock in. And look, it could all work out, but I don't know. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting position groups to watch.
I mean, it really is, because last week I went out there and I went to go watch practice, and I was sitting there watching the wide receivers. And when they went 12 personnel, one back, 2 tight ends, and 2 wide receivers, the 2 wide receivers that out there when they started it, I know it don't make a hill of beans right now, it was Calvary and it was Van Jefferson. So what is that? What does that tell you? You know, I know Berkshire's not going to really be a mix. I know they drafted those other guys, but they got 2 veteran guys at the starting position with Van Jefferson. And actually, Van Jefferson – look pretty good. He's bigger. I mean, he's a technician when he runs routes. So even though, you know, they don't have the big names other than Calvary, really, I was watching the receiver position, and it's going to be really interesting because there's a lot of competition.
Talking to Chris Sanders. You ready?
Hey, yes, go.
There we go.
No, that should be the jam, man.
Right now?
I got the oh my God.
I mean, if this doesn't get you going, then you're probably dead.
Snap.
Man, I should do the run. You remember that dance called The Running Man?
Yeah.
I should do that to this song all the time.
Oh, there you go.
Chris,
man.
I can
that
see
is
you
awesome.
I can see you in like a hot pink track suit. With a high top fade.
Yep, the high top fade now. And the MC Hammer pants and the MC Hammer shoes. Come on, man.
Please. Parachute pants.
Please tell me you got a track suit somewhere, don't you?
I do, but man, it's, you know, back then I weighed like 105 pounds. Just imagine me in a track suit. Come on, man. It looked gross.
I want to ask you this.
Sure.
Who was your receiver coach in college?
It was Mike Stock.
How much?
I know you don't know.
Well, I'm just curious, but, because how much did you learn in your first year with the Oilers coming from Ohio State?
I learned a lot. You know, because when I was at Ohio State, Mike Stock was a phenomenal coach. But there's sometimes where they just focus on your speed and you can jump and you can run and do all those things. but not really understanding the craft of running a route, the craft of getting off the line of scrimmage, the craft of lying with your eyes and basing every route off the nine route. So when I got into the NFL, you know, Les Steckel took my game to a whole different level. He said, yes, I understand you're fast. Yes, I understand you can jump. But now let's master getting off the line of scrimmage. Okay, what do I need to do to the line of scrimmage? Get the guy off the spot. When I say get the guy off the spot, I open up his hips. Then he said, get back on your line or get back on your track. And then what I do at the top of the route, lie with my eyes, burst off the cut, coming back to the ball, you know, doing all those little things that I really didn't know in college. So once I understood how to run routes, my skill level went out the roof because I understood that I wasn't just a fast guy. I had to become a technician and running routes.
I think Chase and I counted 13 or 14 receivers in that room now. You're only going to take five or six. How do you break out that you get noticed? Because you're not getting all the reps.
Yeah, but see, here's what you got. You got to be smart. Like, when a lot of veterans are like, when you go one-on-one, okay, when a lot of those veterans, they'll take one rep and they'll stop. So what I did is I kept taking rep after rep after rep after rep. And then what I did, too, is I would go with the veteran defensive back like Chris Dishman, Jackson is with the Tennessee Titans, some other guys that I played with. So every time they would do a one-on-one, I was getting respect because if I can beat those guys and I kept showing up on film, that's how I got noticed.
It's such a crowded room in there. It's hard to break through that when you know like who the four or five are. Then you got to get, you know, eight guys for one or two spots. It's just so difficult.
It is, but you got to do something that's out of the norm. And I'm gonna tell you why. I think I shared this story before. When I think it was the second year, we had a guy named Chris Sanders. He's from Texas A&M. He was another Chris Sanders. And he was on the verge of not making a team. I mean, it was just so many receivers. But he went to the special teams coach and said, you know, can I come in and play, you know, kickoff for kickoff? So he runs down there, and there's a big wedge there, and he jumps over the wedge and makes the tackle, and the whole sideline goes bananas. He makes the team by off one play. So you got to do something that you get noticed.
Yeah, he's the Nick, the producer, called that Chris Sanders this morning to come on the show and got the numbers crossed up. So. Sorry about that. All that went on, what's going on.
Oh,
all right, so
gosh.
Do we need to pump the brakes on this Cam Ward love right now? Because it is camp. There's nothing really going on.
No. I went to go watch him last night. Let me tell you something. There's two things that I love about this kid. Number one, he looks comfortable. I mean, when you have a lot of rookie quarterbacks come in, they're unsure, they're afraid to make a mistake, but just watching how comfortable he looks in the pocket, how comfortable he looks when he's running around, and how he is coachable. And then the second thing is, I know it's shorts, and I know he's not getting hit, but his decision-making was insane. It's like, I'm sitting there watching, like, I know it's early, and I know everybody's like, okay, he ain't getting hit. But I watch how he made the decision before the play even started. And when I say make the decision for the play, is the coverage determined where he was going. And right when he did a three-step, the ball was gone. And I was like, okay, he's got it.
Chris Sanders is with us on the Chase and
Big
Joe
Show. I got another one for him.
Go ahead.
Keep going on there. Chris, how you doing today, buddy? Good?
Hey, but what happened? What happened?
No, we're good. Hey, so let me ask you this. You know, it's for so long when you'd say a quarterback that throws sidearm, he throws sidearm, he's not any good. Cam Ward's got a hell of a sidearm toss,
yes,
brother.
He does. He does. I mean, but see, here, the thing about it is, that's his forte. I mean, it's not like something that he's trying to make up. I mean, they were doing 7-on-7 yesterday, last week, and they were in the red zone, and there was a pass that he threw underarm, and it was on the dime because that's his forte. That's the arsenal that he has in his passing. So, you know, even though it's unorthodox, I hope that's the word because I went to Ohio State, I can't remember, but – but that's his repertoire. I mean, it's not something that he's making up, but I think that's an asset to him.
Love it, man. And love you.
Oh, man, Chris, I love y'all too. Hey, can I say something about you, Chase? You put a post on your Facebook, I think it was last week, that really touched my heart. You said, you know what, it doesn't matter what you're going through, don't ever give up, man. Mm. So, Chase and Big Joe, I want to say, man, you guys are an inspiration to so many people, not just on the air, but just how you care about people. And I take my hat off to you guys. I love you guys so much.
Well, we love you too. We appreciate it. Chris, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. You take care, fellas. Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the show. Yeah, you just always feel better.
I mean, how many shows around have a guest on who scored a touchdown in the NFL and then jumped over a Buick in the end zone? Not many.
Not many. Man, Good stuff. We'll continue. Coming up next is Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Just text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. Joe, you got something to talk about.
So I guess cicadas are coming back this summer.
Again?
In some
Didn't
places.
Didn't we just deal with that?
I don't know. So a Lexington TV station had a poll. I don't know how when it was, but the poll was, what's more annoying? It's a Lexington TV news station. What's more annoying, cicadas or Tennessee fans?
That's tough.
Well, I mean, the fact that that was
or
allowed,
ex-wives.
Or that was allowed on a news, it makes me laugh because I love it. But I'm sure some consultant somewhere was like, "What in the world?
No inside jokes,
right?
Just because you understand it doesn't mean that anybody else understands it. And this is coming from someone that's in New York and has never been to Lexington,
right? That just made me laugh because you see that it's like, what's? I mean, the Tennessee fan base. I mean, there's. They get a lot of grief from a lot of people, the Tennessee. But we talked the other day about this. Tennessee fans don't care. They do not care. As they head to Fayetteville this weekend to take Arkansas, they don't care. But, I mean, Florida fans don't get this, do they? I mean, Bama fans do because a lot of them are just bandwagon guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I don't think – you don't hear LSU fans when we talked about this. But it's always the Tennessee fans.
Sure. Look, Tennessee fans, I respect you. You're annoying. I'm just being real. I mean, and I'm obviously more of a Vanderbilt fan. I pull for Tennessee. I want them to do well. It's good for what we talk about. I have no ill will against Tennessee at all. But yeah, some of the Tennessee fans, you're annoying.
What annoys you?
They like to chirp. They like to talk. And now they're finally and I'm glad now they're finally in a position where they can back it up again.
Yeah.
But there was a time where the athletic department sucked, and a lot of them would run their mouth on stuff, and it's like, just be quiet.
Yeah.
You got nothing to talk about right now.
But I think the Vols, is it North Carolina, only teams that have football? Not North Carolina, wasn't them. Who was it? Tennessee and somebody else, some teams that make the college football playoff, the basketball tournament, still alive in baseball, and then the women went to the softball. I mean, it's a good time for Tennessee
athletics.
Well, the
women went to the tournament, too, basketball tournament.
So I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, look, things are good right now. Danny White has taken over and runs a tight ship. I think his coaching hires have been good. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if Heupel's ever going to win a championship for Tennessee, but he might.
Right.
I mean, the way it goes now, you play the portal, right? Who knows?
I mean, there's a lot of coaches who are not going to win the national championship, but they're good coaches because it's just so competitive to get there.
If you're a 20-something-year-old, whether you're a recruit out of high school, or which you would be in your teens, or you're in the portal, and you're looking at places to go, I know money is a big part of it now.
Right.
But – and I'm not asking, like, why would you – I'm asking, what is it about Tennessee that appeals to you?
Saturdays are packed.
It's a great atmosphere. You got a good coach. You have an offense, if you're an offensive player, that is fun to play in college.
Sure.
It is a true college football offense. You get a great education, which I think they don't care about as much anymore.
Right.
They should.
They do that.
And there is money. I mean, we know some of the big wigs.
Well, I mean, you're going to get 100,000 on Saturdays to watch you play football.
Right.
It's pretty good.
You're in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Tennessee would be or should be an appealing program.
You can't go wrong with either. I mean, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Georgia, Florida.
Right. But why are Alabama – like, why is Alabama appealing?
Now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's still the lure of what happened with Saban and the pride and the championships. And
right. But I mean, you're basically, and I know they got the money too, but you're attracted to it because of what happened.
Yeah.
Not what could happen.
Well, it's the potential of a good – you're going to play pro football, and that's a place you're like, I can play – if I go to Alabama, I can play pro football. But it's all changing now. It's all about the money. You know this. I mean, it's about how much money can – if a guy is on the fence between Auburn, Mississippi State, and Alabama for $1 million, Mississippi State's like, we're going to pay you $4 million. Think he's going to go to Auburn and Alabama? No. He's going to go to Mississippi State. That's what's going to happen with that.
Give me that cowbell.
It's an arms race now, and there's no – it's not going to slow down for a while.
I was going to say, cowbells are pretty fun to ring, by the way, if you're a Mississippi State fan.
Yeah.
And you're making $4 million a year. Sure. Sure.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, I'll go.
Why are you a Mississippi State fan again?
My brother went there.
Why did he go there?
Because he decided if it was either Western or Mississippi State. And I was like, hey, man, you should go to Mississippi State.
Yes, he should.
And they had a golf program that he enjoyed. So.
Well, nice.
And you went to – where did you go?
I did the other route. I went community college, then MTSU.
That's right.
Yeah. Free education. Over, you know, discounted price, I'll take that any day.
So we're all middle grads here.
Yeah, shout out to middle.
Yeah, in different decades.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all my credits transferred over to a 4-year degree. So it, you know, I have an associate's and a bachelor's.
Kenny the mailman has weighed in. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, good friends. Chase, you said something yesterday I'd never heard. Can you repeat again how Ekholm reacted when they won the game that got in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, yeah. So I walked up to him to do our post-game interview because I always got a post-game interview. And, I mean, he was emotional. And he was like, I can't believe it. We're going to the Stanley Cup Final. Like, it was a moment I'll never forget because I got to share that with him of just – you know, that emotion that you get of the job's not over, but you're going, you know that you're 4 wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. So that was a cool moment. And he and I have talked about that since then. And just, that's why I cheer for him, because he's just such a good guy.
That's so amazing. Ironically enough, that's how I act when I listen to Jared Stillman in the afternoons. I bust out crying. And then I say, is this guy for real? Is this guy for real? But, you know, I'm all for Nashville. I do listen to Jared, and I tell people, don't listen in snippets because you'll get mad. Listen an hour and a half. He'll argue with himself, contradict himself 3 times, and then declare himself the winner at the end. So, hang in there. He's the Houdini of words.
Yep. Appreciate it, Kenny.
Hey, y'all have a great day. I'm all for Nashville.
Awesome. Kenny the mailman weighing in.
All for Nashville.
That's a good one.
It is. You and Ekholm buddies.
Yeah. He was, I mean, we're around the same age. I'm probably a little older.
If you saw him, he'd like, where's he from, Sweden?
Yeah.
He'd be like, Jason, how are you?
Yeah, he might be.
I don't think he sounds like Sylvester Stallone, Joe.
Sound like the Godfather.
Yeah.
Jason, come and see me. I want to make you an offer you can't refuse.
I know you're not, when they traded him, you understood why they traded him. But
yeah, I did. I mean, look, I learned, I'll never forget sitting in my dad's car. We were going somewhere in 2004, whenever it was, and the news broke that the Titans had cut D-Mace and Smyroll, Joe Nedney, and Kevin Carter. And I was like, what are we doing? Like, it was just, that was the first time that I had really experienced that of the cap casualties and rebuilds and all that stuff. And I've told Floyd this story, but I remember saying, like, Floyd Reese is the dumbest person ever. Like, what's he doing? Like, I can't believe this. Like, he's ruining our team. But obviously, you know, that was a part of it. So since then, I've just, you know, it's like, I get it. I get the business part. I know how it works.
It's not fun, but that's exactly what happens.
All good runs come to an end.
All of them. They don't stick around forever. I mean, Cowboys, 92, 93, 95, done.
I mean, that's what free agency did. And look, free agency is a good thing. I mean, I think it was needed in all sports. But, you know, you get that for a while.
Well, that's why watching the Reggie White documentary in 93 when he left the Eagles, went to the, like, why are you going to Green Bay? I mean, that shook the apple cart to the core, man, because Reggie White ended up in Green Bay, won a Super Bowl a few years later. Because the free agency would open up in 93. It's a lot of guys.
But you know what? I don't know if they win that Super Bowl if they don't have him. And I know he was towards the end of his career. Wasn't the same game wrecker that he was. But, like, just having him in the locker room, you got a young Favre, a young receiving core. I mean, there weren't a ton of superstars on that team.
No. Nope.
So
Sterling Sharp was not on that 96 Super Bowl team for the Packers, which
he had already gotten hurt, right?
Already gotten hurt. Yep. So Desmond Howard, I think, was MVP because he ran the kickoff back for the touchdown. But, you know, Reggie, you know, came back for the Panthers for a little bit and it was not good.
Didn't he retire for a year and then came back? Yeah.
So not good. I mean, he was still a good player, but it just wasn't Reggie White player. And just sort of run off
that documentary I watched on him not long ago was so good.
That's like we don't talk about Jordan's time with the Wizards or the Bullets, whatever it was.
The Wizards, yeah.
Just so terrible.
Yeah, he came back.
Came back, had, was like the coach, GM.
But here's actually the first year. The first year he wasn't bad. He was, let's see, his last year in Chicago, which was 97-98, he averaged 28.7 points a game. The first year with the Wizards was 22.9, which was still better than a lot of players in the league.
Right.
And then the next year was 20. He averaged 20 points a game.
What was the record of that team, though? I mean, they I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But I remember he drafted Kwame Brown, number one out of Atlanta, the guy who was not very good.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were bad teams.
But then, you know, he got the Bobcats for like $400 million and sold them for like $1 billion. I mean, so he made all, it's not stupid.
Now he owns a race team.
And did you see him last weekend?
I did not. I don't think he was here.
He should have been here.
No. I didn't see him.
Well, you should have.
Sorry.
Looked harder.
Where's
racing this week?
Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Is that a fun track?
2 mile oval? Yeah.
Is it concrete or asphalt?
Asphalt.
All right.
Yep. It's fast.
Truck race tonight. They're going to have Mason Rackley running tonight, or Mason Sutton, Dawson Sutton. First I think the down, I think
the trucks are tomorrow.
So what's today?
Nothing.
When's Xfinity go?
They're off this week.
Oh, okay.
So you got trucks tomorrow, Cup on Sunday.
Oh, why are they off?
And then they go to Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So that should be interesting.
That'd be the logistics of that.
To be honest with you, I think this might be a one-and-done thing.
In Mexico?
Because the drivers are like, we don't really want to go. But, yeah, we'll see.
How long would drive is from Michigan to Mexico City?
Yeah, well, they'll go to Charlotte first. I mean, but, yeah, it's Mexico City.
Good Lord.
The Xfinity Series has raced there before, and this will be the first time the Cup Series goes there.
All right. Well, look, we learn something new on the show every time.
That's what we're here for. Chasing Big Joe, let's give something away. You want to give something away, Dr. Crane? Can we do that? Is that fine with you?
Yeah, let's do that.
You good with that? Let's do that. How about that? If I
Hey,
can
how about
it.
That, Phyllis? Caller,
number three, you can win a pair of tickets to see Volbeat and Hailstorm at First Bank Amphitheater on Saturday, August 2nd. Just call 615-737-1025. Tell Dr. Crane he's pretty and you can win the tickets.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. You going to go do some CMAs tonight?
I am. I'm going to be on the Chevrolet stage, do some stand-up comedy from 5 to 6. And
nice.
Then from 7:30 in my band, we're going to play a little.
When you mentioned a few weeks ago you got something with Tanya Tucker coming up.
I do. We're doing a couple of – we're going to do this panhandle of Texas. We're going to swing through a few states there. And then it's Tanya Tucker, myself, and T. Graham Brown.
Nice.
So, that'll
be a good I girl. Tell it like it used to be.
Can
so
you,
be a
can
lot
you
of
get
fun.
Him to do Hell in High Water? It's a great song.
Oh, it is a great song. And then we're trying to put it together, but myself, Bill Anderson, and John Conley hitting the Florida Panhandle sometime in August.
Oh, nice. Well, so, I look forward to that. So Fanfare is in town.
Yeah. We're hoping to Dr. Crane's actually working on promotion. We're going to try to do one at the Raceway up here on the corner of Franklin Limestone Road and Bell Road. So we'll put a show there for you. A little pop-up in the parking lot.
Nice.
Look forward to that.
We need to get Tim Duggar out there.
You know, it's funny. People come to town now and like, wow, it's great. But they don't remember the fan at the fairgrounds when there was no air conditioning and it was 1,000 degrees. I remember
when it was actually called Fanfare.
Right.
Yeah.
And Garth signed autographs one time for 23 hours straight.
Oh, yeah.
He just kept going. 23 hours straight. And that's when the new country with Travis Tritt and Clint Black and Alan Jackson and Garth and Vince and all that just exploded. And that was a lot of fun over there, man.
It is cool that now, like, you got stuff at Nissan, there's stuff at Ascend, there's stuff on the riverfront.
Yeah.
I think Bridgestone's the only one that's not really, there's nothing in it. It's all outside. But, you know, and then all these meet and greets, and, like, you'll have people show up at their bars that, you know, have their name on it.
It's, I mean, it's a good, they've done great. It's a good time. I remember when we got to have VIP access, it's like 1992 with Little Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And we were at the fairgrounds. We knew them from the Wrangler, and we got to hang out with them. And it was like, man, this is really, really cool. And like 3 years later, they were gone. So, I mean, the success
they had
is
that
fleeting.
One, they had that one album. Had God Bless Texas, and then Kick a Little.
Kick a Little, yeah.
Which the Titans still use.
They should, yeah.
For field goal. Gotta kick a little.
Kick a little. Funny, I always think about, when you talk about field goal and Titans, when Baronis missed the field goal and they thought he made it and they played My Sharona.
Oh, yeah.
Fisher was absolutely pissed because there was a penalty on that and everything went on just to chaos and they shot the fireworks off. Good times back then.
5644. Did you just say Tim Duggar? Great friend of ours and a regular at the batter's box. We went and saw him in Vegas 2 years ago. Yeah, I met Tim through racing connections, and he's Joe's neighbor.
He's my neighbor. Oh, Tim Duggar. He's playing today in Michigan.
He's in Michigan, yeah. He played last week at a Super Speedway outside in the fan zone. He's rocking a cool mustache.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
I know he had roofers come in like last week at 6 a.m. I'm like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Can't do that.
Tim's a good man. That is for sure. Our question of the day, in honor of D-Day, your favorite war movie? And, I mean, we've had all of them. Sergeant York, Midway, Saving Private Ryan. I mean, so many out there. Platoon. All the Black Hawk Down's been mentioned. I mean, there's several.
I mean, Black Hawk Down, that's a real – when they're running.
Do you count Zero Dark Thirty as one?
Kind of. I mean, there's military in that one. It's a great movie. It's a
That's about Bin Laden, right?
That's it. It is. It's a long one.
You know what's – okay, so I'm curious of something, and this is a bit of a rabbit hole. But, like, you know, there's all these movies about World War II and – you know, Vietnam and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was born well past those things. And so it's like, okay, yeah, I'll watch these movies. And, like, they're great movies. But I'm sure, like the caller said or a texter said earlier about, like, somebody that actually served, you know, on D-Day, like, having a hard time watching it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of me in 9/11 movies that is still just too fresh. Because, like, I remember that, you know, I wasn't in New York, but, like, right. I remember that day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being in school and vivid things and going to Ground Zero 7 months later. And, you know, so it's like now, I mean, like, I've seen, you know, I've never seen World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage. I've never watched that movie. I started watching United 93 and I stopped.
Yeah, same.
Like,
that.
It's just so I'm wondering if there are. And, like, I get why it's done. You know, it's to help continue to tell the story.
Yeah.
You know, the story doesn't need to be forgotten, all those things. But now, documentaries, all about documentaries.
All day.
Like, the one where, and they used it in the Bin Laden thing, the clip of the guy that was following the fire department around with his camera. And, like, he's the only one that has the shot of the first plane.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and
yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
They're doing some pavement on the road or a sewer or something to do that.
And he's like with the fire department when they go in when it goes down.
Yeah, that's a striking image when that happens. Like, I went to high school. Remember the movie The Hurt Locker?
Yeah.
Went to high school with a guy that was in that unit. And I said, what was that like? He's like, I watch every second of it. He goes, it was so realistic to me watching that because that's what we, you know, you go and defuse bombs. I was like, man. I said, was it tough? He's like, yeah. Several friends were killed for doing that. And just like, I'm like, you're a greater man than I'll ever be in my life. God bless you for existing. But that's the thing. I mean, these movies are all you remember. I remember watching with my grandpa or my brother. I mean, there's so a classified war movie doesn't have to be about World War II. There's other movies that stroke those emotions inside of you. Like I told you, mine is The Big Red One with Mark Hamill. Such a good movie. Yeah. And there's other movies along the way. Somebody asked, is A Dirty Dozen a war movie? Yeah, it's a war movie.
Yeah. I mean, people are asking about Forrest Gump. I mean, it's not about war, but I mean, it is. He's in Vietnam. Like a key part of the movie is his relationship with Bubba and Lieutenant Dan, which is Vietnam. Dan.
That's right.
And it hits on, you know, the historic ramifications of that conflict.
Magic legs. Man.
I love that. It's the best. It's my favorite. You got new legs.
It's so good. It's just so every time. I mean, it's. And by the way, we should do a segment today. The greatest villain in cinema and TV is Jenny.
I know you do not like Jenny.
She's the worst. The worst. She's the absolute worst, man. And he gave everything he could for her. She's terrible.
Yep.
For sure.
For sure.
Let me sing some. What do you mean to do?
No, you're good.
Any trigger words you can get me with today? I'm like,
holy cow, it's Gene Simmons. So, we're at the urinal together.
That's right. 2008 or 9, whenever that was. Yep. I look over. I'm like, my God, that's Gene Simmons. Don't look down, Joe. Just look up. Gene Simmons. Yeah. There's a great video with Gene Simmons. Speaking of war, he met a soldier. Now, his mother was in a camp in Germany. She's Jewish. And Gene Simmons met one of the soldiers who liberated the camp and saved his mom. It's tough to watch, man, because Gene Simmons is thanking this guy, like, if you don't save my mom, I'm not here. It's pretty cool, man.
That is a good one. Brian says probably mine and my 12-year-old son's favorite is The Patriot. That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, it's a Revolutionary War.
I read that's a combination of like four different people rolled into one from Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's Revolutionary War, right?
It was. Yeah. Yep.
That scene where he throws the hatchet.
Oh, right.
It is like that's such a badass.
And I think in that movie explain why we vote on a Tuesday. Do you know that?
Oh yeah, I think it does do that.
Because you go to church on a Sunday and then it would take you a day to travel. You didn't travel on Sunday because of the Sabbath. Take you a day to travel wherever you go in the state capitol, whatever, you'd get there, you'd vote on a Tuesday, and you'd come back home after that.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. Bob wants to weigh in on the war movie. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys. So it's actually two things here. One, is, I guess you wouldn't call it a movie because it's a series, but one of the best of all times is Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the other one, and I don't know if you've ever watched the behind the scenes. Have you ever seen Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Yes.
Have you seen behind the scenes of the real people?
Yes, I have. It is something to watch.
It is a phenomenal movie and a phenomenal story. And Peter Berg, the guy that directed it, you know, meeting the families and making sure to do it the right way. One of the most heart-wrenching movies you'll ever see.
You're right.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Good ones there. We'll come back with what day it is. Day is it and celebrity birthdays. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I have to read this text from Jeff. He said, all this time I thought the Hurt Locker was about a former Titans quarterback who was injured a lot. Just kidding.
That could have been. Yeah. Same thing. Same title. Poor guy.
Ooh, man, Jeff, that's a good one.
I mean, that's the first round pick after 4 years. He's like, I'm done.
Good. Yeah, I mean, he's done.
Yep. If you're done, good. You're happy with yourself, good. Bye.
I don't blame him. Nope. With that, let's get to what day is it in celebrity birthdays. And, of course, it is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
Obviously, first on the list is D-Day, June 6th. Hug an Atheist Day is today. National Applesauce Cake Day is today. Some delicious pastries here. National Churro Day. Mm. National Donut Day. Clay, where are you at?
Right, yeah, where are you, Clay?
That's what I'm saying. National Eyewear Day. National Fish and Chips Day. It's not an American thing, but, you know, United Kingdom.
America!
National Gardening Exercise Day.
Just don't do it naked, right?
Right.
Yeah. Some people like to.
National Gun Violence Awareness Day, National Higher Education Day, and last on the list, last three, that is, National Hunger Awareness Day, National Yo-Yo Day, and Russian Language Day. Can't speak that.
Yet. Well, you know a lot of Russians, don't you?
Well, it's like I told earlier, watching this documentary, I learned that it's SEAL Team 6 because there was a SEAL Team 1 and a SEAL Team 2, and they said 6, so the Russians would look for 3, 4, and 5.
That's brilliant. By the way, it's National Applesauce Day.
Applesauce Cake Day, yeah.
Yeah, for those of us that had kids, if there's nothing left on planet Earth but applesauce, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Because to watch my kids eat applesauce when they were young, no.
I loved it when I was young, and I don't like it now.
I always put cinnamon in mine. It was delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try it out.
That explains a lot of things.
Yeah.
By the way, I won't eat green bean casserole ever again, so we talked about that.
I do like green beans.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these all within 2 years of each other. America's most popular game. Remember Tammy Beauclair? Tammy, thank you the other night when we honored Dr. Crane for his service to the community. Tammy was like, I love celebrity birthdays. So thank you, Tammy, for that. First birthday up, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund. How old is Robert Englund?
What else was he in? He was in some other things too, wasn't he?
He's a bunch of things. But man, what a career by playing Freddy Krueger.
74.
78. Don't know your Freddy Krueger's in the world. Remember that New Year's Eve and Keith Urban wore that shirt like Freddy Krueger? Everybody was like, it's Freddy Krueger. Nobody paid anything to his music. Harvey Fierstein. He was in Independence Day with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Mom.
73.
Sandra Bernhard, comedian.
48.
52.
70. Mm. Comedian Colin Quinn.
42.
44.
66. Jeez. Guys are doing good. Actor, speaking of the Patriot, actor Jason Isaacs was in White Lotus, Armageddon, and he was the mean British guy in the Patriot.
What was he in Armageddon?
He was the scientist. That was trying to figure out the. Billy Bob Thornton's right hand man.
63.
67. 62. Chaser's up 1-0. Probably one of the greatest actors of our generation is getting credit, Paul Giamatti.
Oh, I love Paul Giamatti. Was it his dad that was a commissioner?
And died during the Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Bart Giamatti.
WNBC.
That's right.
Paul Giamatti. I'm going to say he's 70?
62.
58. Oh, wow.
Chaser's up 1-0. Singer-songwriter Gary U.S. Bonds.
58.
65.
86. Mm. Country singer Joe Stampley.
65.
72.
82. Record producer, musician, Jimmy Jam.
65.
73.
66. Chase up 2-0. Guitar player, Steve Vai. Mm.
62.
67.
65. 2-1. I like this. Bass player, Sean Yazolt of White Zombie.
58.
52.
59. Chase up 3-1. Who else we got here?
Some people.
Oh, Uncle Cracker.
Oh, nice.
What's up, man, Uncle Cracker? Howls Uncle Cracker today, man.
54.
61.
51. All right, we got three sports birthdays for you. Wimbledon champion Bjorn Borg, or as a former coworker called him, Bjorn Borg. How's Bjorn Borg?
I think I knew who that is, too. 70.
67.
69. Chase up 4-1. Former UT and Dallas Cowboy defensive back, Bill Bates.
67.
64.
All right, it's 4-2. You got a shot to tie there, Dr. Crane. Our last birthday, Cam Neely. Was he in, who's the one that was in Dumb and Dumber?
I don't remember.
He's always in the Dumb and Dumber. He's always in the Fairley Brothers movie.
He was in, oh yeah, he says yes.
It's Seabass. He's like, yeah, that's Seabass back there. He's like, put it on my
kick tab. His ass, Seabass. Yeah. Is that where that came from?
Hey, pick up my check.
Yeah, pick up my check, right?
Cam Neely. 57.
71.
60.
Nah, I was off just by one.
All right, Chase, you win 4-2.
Thank you. That'll do it for us.
As we leave the show this weekend, we talk all the time to you guys out there. Know that we love you. If you're going through something, please on your cell phone, you call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you all the time. I read a stat that nearly 50% of men don't talk about their mental health. Please, let's talk. Talk to people. Talk to us. Reach out to the men who've reached out to us for the last year and a half. Thank you so much. Know that we care and that we love you and know that we're always here for you. I tell you all the time, go do something for yourself. It's not selfish. It's deserving. It's deserving that you take care of yourself and do that this weekend. Know that we love you and our world is a better place because you are here. Please know that. And please know that we love you. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD. Coming up next, have a great weekend. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.